used as they travel from Africa to Europe. The inquest into the massacre of 30 British tourists by an Islamist gunman in Tunisia will conclude today. Coming up on the programme, when culture turns political, we'll be looking at the pressure for a new Irish language law in Northern Ireland.
I suppose because I'm a Protestant, I never had the opportunity to engage with the Irish language, and then 6 years ago I got the chance to learn a wee bit of Irish and Hechmen Ra, Leis an Teanga. I fell in love with the language.
And as President Trump prepares to face Congress for the very first time, we have some advice from Barack Obama's speechwriter.
You know, it's tough when you're still trying to find your sea legs in the White House. I mean, I always joke that as we were, you know, trying to rescue the global economy, we were also trying to find the bathrooms and find a place to eat lunch. So it's hard.
The BBC News is read this morning by Neil Sleat.
There have been more than 20,000 allegations of abuse made against home care workers over the last 3 years, according to data obtained by the BBC. Most involved the neglect of the over-60s. Bridget Waugh from the UK Home Care Association says the figures should be treated with caution, but are nevertheless troubling.
We need to be careful about what it is that is measured there. This was alerts. It doesn't mean that all these concerns have been investigated and upheld. Having said that, of course, any incidence of abuse or neglect is awful.
And there'll be more on this story on tonight's File on 4 here on Radio 4. The inquests into the deaths of 30 British tourists who were murdered by an Islamist gunman in Tunisia 2 years ago will conclude this morning. They were among 38 people killed near the resort of Sousse in June 2015. At the hearing, the Royal Courts of Justice, the coroner will explain why he's rejected a request by many of the bereaved relatives to rule that neglect by a travel firm was a contributory factor. Our correspondent Peter Hunt reports.
The barrister for many of the bereaved had argued last week that the holiday firm TUI's response to the risk posed to its customers in Tunisia was one of utter complacency and the very essence of neglect. The travel company maintained this was a wholly erroneous claim and there wasn't sufficient evidence of any gross failure. The coroner, Judge Nicholas Lorraine Smith, rejected the relative's request. This morning he'll explain why. And then he'll return what were once known as verdicts. 30 times, Judge Lorraine Smith will record that a British holidaymaker staying at a Tunisian hotel was unlawfully killed.
Researchers say that regular blood tests on women at high risk of ovarian cancer could significantly improve the detection of tumours. The blood test looks for a chemical produced by the ovaries. If levels soar, it's a sign of cancer. In a trial involving more than 4,000 women across the UK, over half the detected cancers were caught early. Without screening, that proportion was reduced to 1 in 20. Government departments have been told to find further budget cuts of up to 6% to begin taking effect in just over 2 years. The Treasury wants to save an extra £3.5 billion in the year before the next general election. The UN Children's Agency says thousands of unaccompanied child refugees are being subjected to violence and sexual abuse on their way from Africa to Europe. A report by UNICEF says nearly 26,000 children made the dangerous sea journey from Libya to Italy in 2016, twice as many as the previous year, and 9 out of 10 were travelling alone. Our correspondent Paul Adams has been looking at the report.
For a healthy adult, the brutal combination of desert passage and perilous sea crossing is daunting enough. Throw in arbitrary detention, sexual violence and constant ruthless exploitation, and the experience is hellish. Now imagine that you're a child, probably travelling alone. UNICEF's report paints a vivid and horrifying picture of the dangers faced by thousands of children who continue to undertake these appalling journeys. It describes a lack of food, water and medical attention in Libya's notorious detention centres, some of them run by the government, others by armed militias. Some are little more than forced labour camps where violent punishments are commonplace. The report says sexual violence is widespread and systemic at border crossings and checkpoints. Fearing arrest and deportation, victims rarely report their abuse.
More industrial action is due to start tomorrow in jails in England and Wales. The Prison Officers Association has told its members to withdraw from voluntary duties in a pay dispute. The government has threatened to take the union to court. President Trump will address a joint session of Congress for the first time tonight. He's expected to give more details about his first budget, which includes plans to increase defence spending by nearly 10%. Our correspondent in Washington, Nick Bryant, has this assessment of what he might say.
With its talk of American carnage, Donald Trump's inaugural address was criticized for its dark, some complained, dystopian tone. But a senior administration official said that the president would offer an optimistic vision in his speech before a joint session of Congress. One key theme would be the renewal of the American spirit, another that Americans have been waiting for help from their leaders for too long, which has echoes of his Forgotten People campaign rhetoric that proved so effective with the working-class voters who carried him to victory.
Egg producers in the UK are set to lose their free-range status from today as a result of measures designed to stop the spread of avian flu. Since December, all hens have had to be kept inside barns here and in other European countries. Any eggs from hens that have been inside for 12 successive weeks are not permitted to be sold as free-range. The protective order is now being lifted, but many farmers in England are still keeping their birds indoors for their own protection.
The time is now 6 minutes past six. Time for a weather forecast, and Thomas Schaffernacker has it this morning at the Weather Centre. Hello, Thomas.
Good morning to you, Sarah. Well, today, actually, I think a slightly better day than what we had yesterday. Yesterday, if you had to run for cover from all the hailstorms and the downpours, I think today, a lower chance of catching these heavy showers. There should be just that little bit more sunshine around. But in the short term, very chilly this morning. There's a widespread frost. There's some ice around as well, particularly across northern and western areas of the UK. But be prepared for ice almost anywhere across the country. And then through the course of the morning, there will be actually a fair bit of brightness around. For example, across England and Wales, I think for some of us, a pleasant start to the day. We've had the clear skies overnight. The sun should be up in the next sort of couple of hours or so. So I think a decent start to the day. But a little different, I think, the further northwest you go. So certainly in Northern Ireland here, very overcast right now, and it is raining heavily. So Belfast is in for a soaking in the next hour or two if it's not raining where you are in Belfast already. And the wet weather in the northwest of the country will be spilling to other parts of the UK as we go through the morning and into the afternoon. So I think by the time we get to, say, midday, and almost certainly by lunchtime, we are expecting some rain in the northwest of England, in Wales, and then eventually through the Midlands and down into the southeast a little bit later on in the day. So in summary, there will be some rain around today, but it won't be as frequent and as heavy as yesterday. Back to you.
Thank you, Tom. It's 8 minutes past six. Let's take a first look at the morning's papers. Lots of fun with the Oscars, of course, but a whole range of different news front pages. The Times has got a striking one, somebody we're going to be talking to later on today, Simon Bailey, who is head of Operation Hydrant, the National Investigation into Historical Child Sex Abuse. And the headline they produced on his interview, "Don't Lock Up Low-Risk Paedophiles," say the police. Mr. Bailey tells the paper, "We have reached saturation point," meaning with all the allegations of online abuse, for example. "The police service has responded to the threat, but has now reached that point whereby we have to try and turn the tide. We have to look at alternatives." We'll be talking to him about what those might be.
This time yesterday, we were talking about the Daily Mail's front page, which had their investigators going into Capita, which is the outsourcing firm the BBC uses to pursue people who don't pay their television licences, and it found that they were using some very aggressive tactics. Today, the headline is BBC Chief Savages TV Licence Bullies, because the paper's picked up on the response of Tony Hall, the Director General of the BBC, who has written to the boss of Capita and said that Capita had fallen short of the standards the BBC has a right to expect on behalf of the British public, and he's demanding urgent reassurance.
The Telegraph leads on the news that UKIP, in its words, is at war as Farage calls for MP's head. Nigel Farage, the former leader of the party, of course, has written in the Telegraph, and he says that Douglas Carswell, the party's only MP, has to go. Indeed, he says this: "As a party, how can we let a man represent us in the House of Commons who actively and transparently seeks to damage us? I think there's little future for UKIP with him staying inside the party. The time for him to go is now." What's interesting is this comes a day after Mr. Farage's close ally and party funder Aaron Banks said in Leicester that he was made chairman of the party to sort it out and clean it out, he would stop giving his money.
The time is now 10 minutes past six. More than 23,000 allegations of abuse have been made against carers working in people's own homes over the past 3 years. The data comes from a Freedom of Information request submitted by the BBC's File on 4 programme. And the reporter on it is Leslie Kerwin, who's here. Leslie, what kind of allegations are we talking about?
Well, these are what are called safeguarding alerts, and they're recorded whenever there are concerns about people's safety, usually by local councils. The majority of the 23,428 alerts were about people aged over 60, many of them about people aged over 80, and half were about neglect. But there were also 3,000 about physical attacks and 400 complaints of sexual abuse, all of these involving carers working in people's homes. Only half the councils in the UK supplied us with data, and campaigners say that's part of the problem, it's just not a priority.
And what sort of examples did you come across?
Well, we talked to families who found their loved ones left in awful conditions, ill and neglected by home carers, sometimes failing to get the medical attention when they needed it, or simply not doing the basics like ensuring people had enough food and drink, or were left in hygienic conditions. Perhaps the most shocking story was that of Dora Melton. She's 86, she suffers from dementia. She was assaulted by husband and wife carers Morris and Deborah Campbell. It was caught on CCTV cameras installed by Dora's daughter, Elizabeth Budnick. You are going to hear the distressing sound of abuse inflicted on Dora, and then Elizabeth's description of what she saw on the CCTV footage.
You may think you're clever, but you're not. Shut up! Back it in! No one's hurting you! You're not a bloody screaming banshee!
He hit her round the head with real force, as hard as he ever could. There was another incident where he got his fist and he screwed it into her stomach to try to make her swallow. I've put these people in to look after my mum. They haven't looked after her. They've hurt her.
The Campbells both pleaded guilty in court to ill treatment and willful neglect. Morris Campbell was sentenced to 28 months in jail, Deborah Campbell 38 weeks suspended for 2 years. Now, the care company involved, Sage Care, told us it was appalled and shocked by the abuse, but gratified that justice had been done, and they are providing new carers for Dora Melton.
And the fact that they're, I mean, we're talking across the piece here, across the country, so many thousands. What's been the reaction from those who provide home care?
Well, the UK Home Care Association used the word horrifying to describe our figures, though they say the majority of home care is good or excellent. Most of the reports of abuse were about carers in England. As we know, there are complaints there isn't enough money in the system in England to pay for social care. We heard that the end result when it comes to home care is very short, rushed 15-minute visits, which raise the risk of neglect. And that's even though NICE guidelines from 2015 attempted to put an end to most 15-minute appointments. We put questions about funding to the Department of Health, and it told us it has given English councils access of up to £7.6 billion funding for social care over the 4 years to 2020, and it's brought tougher inspections of care services.
Just very briefly, on the question of prosecutions, you said in Dora Melton's case there was one. How often does that happen?
There were 700 cases where the police were involved, and the number of prosecutions was 15 out of 23,000.
Leslie Kerwin, thank you very much. And you can hear more when File on 4 is broadcast at 8 o'clock tonight on Radio 4, as well as later this morning in the news.
It is now 14 minutes.